Welcome to the Chair Yoga Podcast with me, Maria Jones. Knowledge and inspiration for teaching and practicing chair-based yoga.
The Chair Yoga Podcast is sponsored by the Chair Yoga Handbook, the only book you'll ever need to teach chair yoga. Get your copy on Amazon now.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Chair Yoga Podcast. I know we have been away for a long time, but we are back now on a monthly version of the podcast starting this March 2023 with MS Awareness Month and MS Awareness Week. Our guest today is Mara Fowler, who received a disheartening diagnosis of multiple sclerosis about 20 years ago. And she is a very dedicated student of yoga. Mara has, in fact, exhausted many avenues of fitness and wellness to help her combat and cope with her symptoms of multiple sclerosis. However, she received little results until she discovered yoga. Practicing yoga not only helped Mara regain physical control over her body, but it nurtured her mental and spiritual self and the struggles of her diagnosis. After many years of practice, Mara decided to take the leap and become a yoga teacher herself so that she could turn her skills and help others with the same healing practices that changed her life. Mara has completed multiple teacher trainings and certifications. She has studied in the Vini yoga tradition and has become a specialist in accessible yoga and yoga for beginners, which is where her true passion lies. With her relatable knowledge, kind heart, and welcoming personality, I can vouch for that, in fact, Mara endeavors to inspire anyone, especially those living with multiple sclerosis and similar backgrounds to herself, to try yoga and experience the same healing, nourishing benefits. So that is the reason why we are here today, because Mara and I share this ground where we started using yoga and we have discovered ways to cope with our long-term illness. And we wanted to share that with everybody else. So welcome. Thank you for being here today. Tell us a little bit more about your journey with multiple sclerosis.
Thank you so much, Maria, for having me here. I'm really honored to be here. My journey with multiple sclerosis has been long. So I was diagnosed in 2000. I had just about almost celebrated my 21st birthday. I just had about turned 21. So of course I thought I had my world in my hands. It was about Christmas time. And of course I had been misdiagnosed in the beginning with complex migraines. So everybody probably goes through a little bout of that in the beginning. There was some spinal taps in between that, some medications. And then I wound up seeing a specialist. And at that time, which was really funny, he held a x-ray up to a window because they didn't have as much technology as they did then. And he held it up to a window and said, "You have that diagnostic spot that MS patients have. You have MS. And so you're 20, you have MS." So they treated that with Solu-Medrol at the time. Things subsided. And when I left the hospital, I decided I was going to just read a lot about MS. I went on drug modifying therapies at the time. I went home and just said, I'm not going to really ask myself why. And I'm just going to go about my life. And I did. I got a job. I went and did the things I needed to do to live a normal life. And I wanted to feel normal. And then when things got a little more difficult as years went on, I had to change drugs probably about 4, maybe 5 times from different, sorry, my brain gets a little foggy, that cog fog from different contradictions with the drugs. I had to keep changing. I've been on 7 different drug modifying therapies. And so now I'm on Ocrevus. And with all those different changes, I finally came to 2014. And I had a major relapse in 2014. And in 2014, I really realized what MS was. And it changed my life to the point where now I'm on disability. And I've been on disability since then. And at that relapse, I walked into a hospital and, or should I say, hunched over. And I spent those 11 days the first time doing plasmapheresis. And that's when they put a central line in your neck and they wash your blood.
It out, they spin it, they take the plasma out, and put it back in.
And they put it back in. It's not a fun thing, but I do a lot of things with humility. Yeah. And I think that's what makes me find joy in having MS. And I know that sounds hard for people to hear, but I think I have to find levity in my diagnosis. And I've heard a lot of people say that they can't do that. And I don't see why, because you are not gonna really, you're not gonna die from having MS, but you can live and you can do a lot of different things to be healthy and survive with this disease. And when I noticed that about myself, I could really do a lot of different things. And so after 2014, I left the hospital and I found yoga and I decided to change my life and help others find the benefits in what yoga could actually do for themselves. And it was a real enlightening moment for me. And I realized that that might have been my purpose, is to find those healing moments for others and not just for myself. And in the course of that, don't get me wrong, I tried a lot of other things, like a lot of hardcore exercise. I was 70 pounds overweight when I went into the hospital. I had no core strength. And I didn't walk for 8.5 months. So it was a real big wake up call.
But you do appreciate your body, I must admit. Yeah. Get to the stage where, for me, the not walking was because of anemia. I would get up and either get really breathless 2 steps down the line, because that's what systemic lupus does. And then you try to do something and it just doesn't work. And you try and find the energy to do something. And you try all sorts of things when you can, you will go with it. I had once one question asked me, why do you think people don't try yoga very much? Do you think because they are embarrassed? And I'm like, no, I don't think that's the reason. They're not embarrassed. That's not it. It's just that if you can do something harder, you're going to do the harder bits, because when you're chronically ill, you will do your very best. But that's exactly how I think of it. Like, if the opportunity is there to do the thing, lose weight, to shape up, to maybe even conform with the norm.
That's what I was just going to say. You want to conform with the norm. And I think that's what, when I first started yoga, I wanted to conform with the norm. I wanted to get into those same shapes. And it wasn't till I really let go in one practice, which was restorative, and I found bolsters and blocks and those practices too, that helped me meld my body into different shapes. And I think, and if I could come into where the chair yoga comes into that too, is we get there and where we could meet ourselves in any stage of our lives. We can meet ourselves on a mat. We can meet ourselves in a chair, And then we can still meet ourselves in a wheelchair. And when I took accessible yoga training, I realized that as well, that I could meet myself in any stage of yoga. I was able to meet myself anywhere, and I could meet MS patients anywhere, no matter what stage they were. And so I have found much joy, not only just in MS patients, but in older patients. And we are all getting older. Our bodies are getting older. We do not feel like we did when we were 20. I certainly, at 45, I might look young, but I don't always feel young. So yes. I'm able to meet them. And I said that to a class just recently. And it was, in fact, a chair yoga class. And I said, I will meet you wherever you are.
Yep.
And saying those words to someone is so appreciative.
It is. It is, because you see them, you do not see, like, a lot of people may feel fear when they are teaching people who are less able or living with a chronic condition.
Exactly.
And they shouldn't feel fearful.
No.
Many may have it. This is maybe more applicable for people with cognitive challenges as well. They may start seeing it as a disability more than the person that they are. That in that realm of their disease, of their condition, of the challenges in their lives, there is in fact more bright moments than dark, sick moments.
Exactly.
And that there is always a person there. And I'm not going to say that tries to conform, because I have stopped doing that years ago. There is always a person there that is living a life the same way you're living your life. They have their challenges, you have their challenges. That's what it is. It is a person like you and me sitting on that chair, and we need to meet these people where they.
And so I taught someone could not work yesterday, and I wound up subbing for their class, and there was 40 older people in this class. And you have 40 bodies. You have 40 older people bodies.
That is a big class.
It's a big class. I teach at the YMCA.
That's fair enough then.
And so when I started teaching yoga, we learned vinyasa. So there's no chair yoga in vinyasa. We don't even talk about it. Like,
and this don't talk about props.
We don't talk even about props. What are props? They don't even let you use props. When I learned, like, they hadn't even taught an MS patient before. They were like afraid of me. And my mentor and I did not, my teacher that I'm with now, we did not really get along very well.
Fair enough.
But now it's like that story of the ashram where the person is like waiting for the teacher to call them in to the ashram. Let me in. You know what story I'm talking about?
No, I agree with you. That's what it is. And I think the teachers themselves are, again, like you and me, and they can be scared of somebody that comes in with all those challenges. May those be chronic illness or tissue that can't, for example, move one of the legs or two. Most typical, there's so many things. And yeah, they're really scared of you. And it's not just an insurance issue, because you're not going to.
I want to teach a class on the art of falling.
Yeah. And it's just so tough. And sometimes what we learn as yoga teachers from our initial yoga teacher training is based a little bit on fear. And until we teach those who challenge us the most, like when I first taught the first few months of teaching people living with MS, the local MS society, it was super challenging, because the chair yoga training I had done for 3 days was more for able bodies. It was just like a prop for more able bodies. So seeing people who can't stand very long, maybe can't stand at all, people who get dizzy going up and then down, people who have tingling all over the body, or sometimes little creepy crawly feelings and they can't touch themselves in any shape or form. That was a big wake up call where I thought, okay, breathe. One step at a time, you'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when you finally get there with that group of people, you realize that there was nothing really to be scared about, that it is that the practice of yoga, maybe on the chair, maybe on the mat, is just a space of exploration, a space of discovery about our bodies, our minds, ourselves, meeting ourselves, as you already said, where we are. So since the conversation is getting that direction, how do you think, or can you tell us the ways yoga has supported you with your life with MS?
For me, yoga supported my MS. It has really taught me a lot about discipline and having my own practice, not forgetting about myself, having those self-care, enough love for me, not having more time for my family. I think that I've been able to allow the negativity to really be removed from my life. I'm able to make different choices that I wasn't able to make before. And I think that I'm able to relax. My spasticity is so much better. From a pain perspective, this is big. I've been able to reduce my pain medication in half, if not in thirds. So that's really big. I have big neuropathy on my right side from the 2014 relapse. So I had a pain stimulator installed for that when I don't use it. So that's really good. So we've been through that. Psychologically, it's really done so good for that. Yeah. Not only for the self, but for my family. Like being able to calm down and think before I speak.
That's exactly what I was thinking when you were saying about the family. Yoga, through my chronic illness, has helped me deal with the pure frustration to the degree almost of anger I felt about not being understood. Can yes. they not see I'm tired? Can they not see yeah. I'm in pain? Can they not see mm-hmm. I'm unwell? Why is the dishwasher not empty?
But right.
That's like, exactly the thinking that was going on.
I need help.
Yeah, can they not see I need help?
Can you see the floor is dirty or the laundry's piling up?
Yeah, so that's exactly the thinking behind. And then suddenly yoga went and said, everybody is looking after number one. You have to look after number one. And if your cup is overflowing, you can do the dishwasher, you can do the washing machine, mm-hmm. do the dishes, whatever. But if your cup is not overflowing, keep looking after number one and all will be better. It was exactly like that. Eventually the penny dropped. I developed patience. I had less expectations exactly. of them. Things suddenly smoothed out.
Exactly.
And I let go of my expectations of a clean house or
exactly.
or maybe a healthy dinner once in a while, that kind of thing. Let go of expectations, and then suddenly things become more relaxed, not just in the body, but in the mind as well. You're like,
ah. Yeah. Okay. Just in life in general. And then I started going back to my japas again, and I really started connecting better with, and maybe this is going to be that woo-woo moment, but I started connecting with myself, like with the self, like with Purusha. And that was almost like that surreal moment where you know that the yoga is working, that it's not even about the asana right now. It's really that surreal moment when all of the things that you've been learning all this time, you're knowing all that stuff you've been learning, it's happening. You're smart. It's all in there. because part of my issue is like I've learned so much, but I don't know how to access it because of my way my brain is. So it's all in there.
It's all in there. You just have to find a new way to access it, and that will not be a problem. There's more ways to, not a very yogic saying, but there's more ways than one to skin a cat.
Yeah, right. So
it's a great phrase.
And like sometimes it comes out, like when I'm doing like a yoga flow or something, and I'm like, oh, it happened. Sometimes I can't remember like a yoga flow or something when I'm in the middle of doing something and I wrote it or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, there it is. And I'm teaching, we're all teaching it.
I'm so glad to see that it has really come together in that shape, exactly, through yoga, and that it has supported a lot of the mindset, the physical aspect, as well as the relationships with others, which is what it is meant to do anyway. And of course, the pain management, and I'm guessing sleep as well.
I take so much medication. The sleep. I'm not sure if I'm sleeping or not, but I have a rigorous workout. Like I work out every day or have movement every day, but normally I go to the gym and I have my own workout that I do, and I try not to miss that. So that makes me pretty tired. Yeah. I take my nap now. I'm 45, so I need my nap at
20 minutes. 100%. I usually have, you know how you sit on your side and you curl your legs to one side? Well, Muffin is between my shin and my thigh, so she sleeps there. And Cody is like, his head is on my feet and the rest of the body is across the other side of my shins. So I've got the two dogs keeping me warm. We're fine. We're going to sleep for 20 minutes and then get up and go again. Otherwise I do not see 8 o'clock in the evening. I'm just like, I'm glad there's so many, no, glad maybe the wrong word, but seeing that living with chronic illness can be challenging on many levels, and it is experienced very differently, but there are certain things that people who are chronically awesome like you and me can talk about quite openly and understand that this is what happens, this is the way we roll.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make us any less, or the weight gain, the weight loss, the exercise, the restorative yoga, and now bringing it to the chair yoga. From your teaching and maybe from your own practice, do you think there is room for chair yoga amongst people living with MS?
Oh, definitely. I think definitely there's room for that. I think that they could benefit with chair yoga for sure. I think that chair yoga is beneficial for any person, especially with person with MS. They're still stretching. They're still doing movement. They can still do sun salutations just as though they were on a mat. They still can do warrior one or warrior two. They still get the same benefits as if they were standing on their two feet. Just like I learned in accessible yoga, you are still able to do all the same poses.
It's not a lesser form of yoga, and that is the point. It isn't meant to be a crutch. It's just another yoga prop. You wouldn't think less of using a strap. You wouldn't think less of using a block. Exactly. So why do people think less of using the chair?
Yeah.
Puzzles me at times, but that's my own issues I need to work with.
That's what I was saying to the class yesterday when I put them in Baddha Konasana or bound angle, and I took a block and I had them put their feet on top of the block and spread their feet. And they're like, we've never done this before. Mm-hmm. And I just had them sit with their hands open face, palms up, and close their eyes. They're straight.
Almost restorative, actually. It's pretty fun.
It was very restorative. And that's part of what I practice, is I take a little bit of everything I've learned, which is that Vini yoga, which has been an amazing part of my journey. Even though I have all this knowledge, I always take a piece of that through every part of my class.
Because adaptation isn't just to make the practice accessible, it does make the practice accessible. Adaptation comes to also offer a certain effect, to also target a certain physical imbalance, shall we say. And sometimes adaptation comes in other tools, ayama or chanting, affirmations. All sorts of things can be incorporated through adaptation into a class. So bringing that into accessible yoga or chair yoga is just magnificent. We share so much. Thank you for sharing.
Yes. No, this was awesome.
Thank you.
I'm really blessed.
What is your takeaway from our conversation today? Because it's been wonderful to speak to you today.
I think my main takeaway is I think that chronic illness, for one, brings people together. No matter what chronic illness it is, they all share a common bond. And what I always say is sharing your story is not an embarrassing moment, but an unbelievable moment that you are doing for someone else, because whatever you're saying could be an inspiration for someone else.
Thank you so much for listening. The Chair Yoga Podcast is sponsored by the Chair Yoga Handbook. You can get your copy now from Amazon or my website,